I want to preach a youthful sermon for aged Christians. Question. Where do you fit in this? Isn't it amazing? You know, the Bible says aged women ought to teach younger women. You know, that's the old King James. You know why that doesn't happen? I've never met a sister in this body or any other body that says, I'm an aged woman. We just won't use that terminology. But it's a Bible word, isn't it? Where do you fit in this? Well, what age are you? Anybody here that, you know, 30 to 40, somebody fit in that age group? Let me just tell you where you are in your life. You know what life expectancy is? What, 75, something like that? If you're 35 or 40, you are middle-aged. You may not think that. And so, Lawrence, I don't know where that puts you, you know. I mean, you got that youthful look and you're young at heart and everything, but I think you're a little bit above middle-age, aren't you? You know, isn't that amazing? There's a verse in the Bible that uses the word young man. And we're going to look at that verse that talks that is by that young man. Go ahead and put the text up there, because there you'll see it. And there it is. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? That's an amazing beginning of this lesson. And you may want to open your Bible up to Psalm 119. We're going to camp out there this morning. We're going to look to this question: wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Wait a minute. I'm not young anymore. If you haven't cleansed your ways, you still need this lesson. Isn't that right? And if you're young and you have cleansed your ways, it means the rest of your life that you're going to have to just keep on keeping on doing the very thing that is found in this book. Let's look at the background of this text. You know, it's by David, isn't it? The man after God's own heart. What a description. You know, what are you like? Tell me what your heart is like. I don't want to know your outward appearance. You know, you're young at one time, and now you're old and wrinkled. You used to be skinny, and now you're as fat as I am, and all this other kind. You know what we're talking about? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about where you work. Where's your heart? Here's David that God said, of all the people on this earth, this man's heart is like mine. That concept is so sober. If God were looking in this church, who would he find that was a man after God's own heart? And if by man, forget masculine man, mankind, what person is there that's like, has the heart of God? Oh, poor David. Unnoticed by men, even by his father and his brothers. You remember whenever Samuel came down to anoint David to be king, and Samuel is there knowing he's going to anoint everybody. And so here's the firstborn comes in. You know what Samuel says? Surely this is the Lord's anointed. You know what God said? It's not that way. And he had the seven sons that were there, and all of them came by one. And God said, man looks on the outward appearance. I look on the heart. Question. How does your heart look to God? God knows the heart of all men. That's Acts chapter 1, where they're trying to select someone to take Judas's place. And they pray to God saying, look, we've got two men that qualify. God, you know their hearts. You tell us which one of these needs. Here's a man that's after God's own, man's after God, and yet his own brothers didn't have any use for him. You remember when he fights Goliath? You know what his brother said? Go home, David. And when Samuel's there ready to anoint the next one to be king, and when he gets through all seven of them, Samuel says, have we forgotten anybody? Now, if you're a baby in the family, you'll appreciate this. Oh, there's that guy that's out taking care of the sheep. He doesn't count. Isn't that amazing? Overlooked by family. That was Samuel, one of the judges that's there. Somebody's got to take care of the sheep. David, it's you. However, he was known by God. And you and I need to understand and appreciate that. God looked down and there's this young man. And God said, I have selected a man. Listen to this. Teenagers, listen to this. A man after my own heart. God knew him. In fact, we don't have time to look at all of these verses in Psalm 139, but he was known before he was born. David said, you knew me in the womb. What a great verse that talks about abortion. And you need to understand when people, with the spread of abortion in our society, you need to look at that individual biblically. David said, before I was ever born, you knew me inside my mother's womb. You remember when John the Baptist inside the womb of Elizabeth heard the voice of Mary? John the Baptist, listen to this, filled with the Holy Spirit, leapt inside the womb. And I want to tell you, from the moment Mary conceived Jesus, he was the Son of God. And that ought to help us as we try to struggle through not a political issue, but through this very issue that has to do with morality and in relationship to this. But God was preparing him. He needed somebody to be a king. You remember the first king they had? What do you remember about King Saul? What did he look like? He looked exactly like a king. They said, give us a king. So it'd be like, you know what they got? They got LeBron James to come and be their king. That, you know, he can lead us in battle. And the Bible says he was head and shoulders above all of the people. And yet what a mess he made of it. And here's a young boy that didn't even look like he was a shepherd or didn't even look like he was a king. And you never would have seen him as king material, but God took him and used him. Why? Because God knows your heart. And you and I need to understand that not only did God knew him, he knew God. You remember Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen God. When you look at the heart of David, I want you to hear this. When you look at the heart of David, you're looking at the heart of God. That's how important it is. And we know the heart of God when we look at David. Thank God. Thank God for this revelation. Thank God for the life-changing verses that are found in the book of Psalms. And David asked the vital question, and God gives the answer. What's that question? That vital question is, how do you please God? How can a young man cleanse his ways? You know what it's asking? He says, I don't know what life is all about. And when David asked this in Psalm 119 in verse 9, he knew that as a young man, he struggles. Just like young people, he struggles like you struggle. And those who used to be young, and those who wish they were young, you know, and those who are in their second childhood, this lesson is for you. So David says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? You and I need to understand, there's a living God who created this world. And the question is, how can I live before him? Isn't that amazing? How do I get it right? We get disappointed in ourselves. We look at ourselves, sometimes we don't even like what we look and what we see. But even more important is we do not just displease ourselves. We displease God. Isn't that amazing? When David committed sin, committed adultery, taken another man's wife, had a child out of wedlock. Whenever David had killed that woman's husband so that he could marry her, David recognized the magnitude of sin. And I want you to hear this. If there's sin in your life, it is not that you're disappointed against you. Sin is against God, the creator of the world. And David in Psalms 51 says, against you only have I sinned. Wait a minute. Taking a man's wife? Yep. Sins against a woman? Yes. Sins with a woman? Yes. Kills a man? Yes. But the one that has been transgressed is the Creator. You see, God made David. More importantly, God made me and God made you. And whenever we're trying to live in this world, if we get every relationship exactly right, our life has been wasted unless we find the answer to this question. How do I get right with God? It's life's greatest questions, and we must find God's answer. It's not in man that walks to direct his step. You know that verse? There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And if there's anything that ought to sober us up, it's a realization that God can answer it, God does answer it, and we must find God's answer to this. How do I establish that relationship with God? Am I trying to work out my own path and find out a way that's meaningful to me? Or am I trying to find God's way? There's a verse in Paul writes to the folks in Thessalonica, and he says, if a man doesn't love truth, God will send him a strong delusion, that he'll believe a lie, listen, and be damned. What assurance do you have that your answer to this question, what's the meaning of life, how do I spend my life, what is important, and you're pretty satisfied with where you are, but a person doesn't love the truth, God himself will send you a delusion that you are absolutely right. That's why this lesson is so important to you. It's not you. Well, I'm pretty well satisfied with where. What does that really matter? Until my heart is like the heart of God. And so he's given us a book. And you may recognize the words of this song. Ancient words, ever true. Saving me, guiding you. Yeah. That's it. And as we sing those words, we ought to understand that it is those ancient words found in that ancient books that provide us with the answer to this question. And the answer to every vital question in life, that's right here. Where'd it come from? If you believe with all your heart, this is the Word of God. If you believe these words are the product of God Himself intervening with things that are happening on this earth, that the Almighty God, who by His words created the universe, if you really believe that this is a result of God interjecting Himself into mankind on this earth, it'll change your life. What is the answer? What's the divine answer to the question, how shall I cleanse my way? Psalm 119, in quotation marks, in the next 6 points of this lesson, here they are. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed. Stop right there. Sobriety. Serious thoughts. Not just flippantly taking life and living it sort of a day at a time, and whatever comes is what comes, and whatever happens, and, you know, good times and bad times and everything. If this is the ultimate question, how do I reestablish this relationship with God, the creator of the world? Sobriety. You drive down the highway, and there's a sign that says, bridge out ahead. See that bridge down in the Bermuda that was washed out? Imagine driving across that bridge, and all of a sudden it's not there. But now there's a warning sign that says, wait a minute, there's danger ahead. And you just floorboard it. Sobriety. Satan can fill your heart and your life up with material things that you never have time to look at yourself in the mirror. And as you look in the mirror, look inward. I'm not talking about your outward appearance. But here's another mirror. He that looks into the perfect law of liberty and goes his way is like a man that looks into a mirror and goes away and forgets about what he's seen. And that's why James 1 says, be doers of the word. And so it's not just taking heed. It's taking heed according to the words of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. We had 2 Timothy 3 on that previous slide. 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that mean? It means all of the Scriptures. It means both testaments. It means 39 books of the Old Testament and 27 books of the New Testament. That's Scripture. It's all by, it's God-breathed. You know, it's the 1,000 chapters in the Bible. I think it's 1,089. I don't know where that number's come from. I didn't make it up. I read it. But I don't remember. Maybe I'm dyslexic. Maybe it's 1,098. I don't know, but it's 1,000 chapters, and every one of them, God breathed. I mean, how many verses? God breathed. How many words? There's not a word in this book that is not God breathed. And 2 Timothy 3:17 says, and it thoroughly supplies us unto every good work, profitable for doctrine. What do you believe about this? What do you believe about the Lord's Supper? What do you believe about worship of God? What do you believe about the transgender things that are in our world? What do you believe about marriage? What do you believe about divorce? What do you believe about how to treat your wife? What do you believe about how to raise your children? It's all God breathed. The God who created this world answers the question. Here's how you deal with it. You've messed up your life. How shall a young man, and redefine young with the introduction, with the way we define young in the beginning of this lesson, wherewithal shall a man, not just masculine men, wherewithal shall a mortal in the presence of an immortal God establish a relationship with him? By taking heed according to your words. Folks, you got to learn this book. I don't know how to say this with school just starting. Probably better to wait 6 months before I say it, but as the final test is coming up, are you aware there are some Christians that are going to face the ultimate final test and they've never even read the textbook? The textbook is not a part of their life. And you and I need to understand we must learn His will. But then He says, by taking heed according to thy words with my whole heart. Wait a minute. It's not a mental thing. It's not a mental thing to this relationship to God. You've got to learn. It's according to thy word. But you have His word, and then all of a sudden, it is your heart. You know what your heart is? I need to find your heart. Does the word soul somewhere get close to the definition of that? He's real sweet on her, and He says to her, I love you with all of my heart. You know what? He hopes she's understand. He's trying to say, with every fiber of my being, with my whole heart. Folks, coming to church is not just unleavened bread as opposed to leavened bread. It's not just fruit of the vine as opposed to water. It's not just singing a few songs and hitting all the notes right. And it's not just bowing our heads at the right time and saying prayers and at the end to say amen. And it's not enough to just stand where everybody stands and sit whenever anybody sits. Bobo, I know you did that this morning just to see if we'd follow instructions. I know that was not a mistake because young men like you never make mistakes. I'm glad you're human. You understand? It's not perfection of actions. Oh, you need more. No, there's no way. With my whole heart have I sought you, and you will find Him. But His will is not just intellectual knowledge of the Bible. I have sought for you. And John 7:17 says, if any mortal longs to do His will, he'll find the doctrine. Richard smiling. Islai, we're trying to be evangelistic. We're trying to reach out. But sometimes people walk into this place, and who knows, but the providence of God brings you into this place at some particular time. Why did that happen? Richard, I don't know your heart. I know Islai's. He came here about a year ago, a year and a half ago, something like that. And the first time I met him, I thought, I know where this guy's heading. I know what's going to happen in his life. Why? Because he's here to try to find the truth. And he gave up all that was in his past because he found something that was real. And he taught himself. He'd read this book enough to know that where he was religiously was wrong. It's not who's right and who's wrong. It is that this is right. And honesty, with my whole heart, I let God give me the answer. And Richard started looking. And his life started looking. And what a lesson that is to every one of us, not just to start looking, but to keep looking. As long as I live, I will seek you. Jeremiah says, you'll find me when you search for me with all of my heart. And the Lord Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7. For everyone. Every person in this audience who asks and who seeks and knocks will find. Doors will be open. Rewards will be given. When I long for God with every fiber of my being. Oh, let me not wonder. Oh, let me not wonder. You know what that means? Get off the track. God, I have sought you. David says, as a young man, I've sought you. But as you get a little bit older, are you still seeking him? Don't let me wander away. Don't let me be that individual who arrives at the point that says, I know the Bible says that, but I don't care that the Bible says that. And you don't say it out loud, but your life sometimes says it. And I'm going to walk away from it. I'm going to turn away from it. I'm going to wander away from it, knowing for this cause God will send them a strong delusion. How do I know that I'm not strongly deluded? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wonder. And listen to how this is number six. Let me wonder from what you said. Don't let me get away from your teachings. That's a sermon. That's a question. How do I get right with God? With every fiber of my being, I search for God. And I respect the book that is on this earth because Emmanuel came. And because Emmanuel, God in the flesh, left this book behind that answers my question, how do I find God? And listen to the summation of all of this in the last part of the answer of this. The simple answer to life's greatest question. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And the question is, are we soberly thinking about this, and what's the answer to it? The answer is amazingly simple to answer the question, in what must I do? With all of my heart, I must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. How do I know that? That's what he says I got to do. With all my heart, I've got to believe in him. It's not just an intellectual thing. Well, there are 332 prophecies in the Bible about Jesus. Wonderful, glad you know that. But you've got to understand, I believe Jesus fulfilled every one of that. I believe that with all of my heart. And that faith causes me to repent. And all that means is to change the direction of my heart, and it'll result in the change in my life. And Jesus says, except you repent, you'll perish, Luke 13:3. And then I've got to tell somebody that I believe Jesus is the Son of God, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's where I want. I want to be cleansed. I want to be saved. Then with my lips, I tell somebody that I believe Jesus is the Son of God. In Acts chapter 8, there's a man who wanted to be baptized and said, here's water. Can I be baptized? You know what Philip said? If you believe, you can. You know what the man said? I believe that. And they stopped the chariot immediately and was baptized. There's a baptistry here, clothing here, towels are here. See, here's water. What hinders you from being baptized? That's biblical. Those are not Dan's words. They're not Dan's words. They're the very words of God. And we'll stop this service and baptize you. If you're ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ, with all of your heart, young, middle age, and old, with all of your heart, with my whole heart, I am seeking thee. Oh, let me not wander from my commandments. And when you do that, when you're baptized, God adds you to the body of Jesus, to the family of God. You're now a child of God, child of Satan, but now a child of God. And then this admonition, words of God, don't you give up the faith that you had in God and the devotion that you have with Him. You be full of that faith. You be faithful until you die, and I'll give you the crown of life. Where are you right now? Don't answer me, but recognize someday you'll answer that very question to God. And if you died today, you'd face God with exactly where you are right this minute if you haven't obeyed Him. He gave His life. He sanctified the words of this book with His own blood. In the Lord's Supper, this is the blood of the New Testament. When they got the Old Testament law, Moses took the blood of an animal and he sprinkled the blood of that animal on the writings God had given to him. And Jesus says, not the blood of bulls and goats, but my own blood is on this new covenant. Every word, every phrase of every chapter has the blood of Jesus. I beg you, let God cleanse your way by the blood of Jesus. And we can help you in your life. Just let us know how. You may not have arrived at this building today thinking about being baptized. Why not? Or you may be that individual whose love has grown cold and you've wandered away. Oh, let me, God, don't let me be deluded thinking that I'm doing right because I just feel like what I'm doing is right. What does He say? Ancient words, ever true. Saving me, saving you. If we can help you go to heaven, won't you let us know how? By coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?